Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. It's a joy to be up here sharing God's Word with you. You know, New Life is created 24 years ago to be the bridge of hope to the community. And then this year's New Life Days theme was on the concept of hope, that we are the builders of hope. And the sermon I have for you this morning is from Isaiah 58. On caring for the needy. Because the needy is in our midst, and because the Lord asks of us to care for the needy. You see, brothers and sisters, we live in this broken world. War is around us. Yeah, here in Singapore, we may feel very distant, no? The war is always happening on the other side of the world, not on this side. And the outcome of war, you get displaced personnel. You get refugees. And you see refugee cities, refugee tents, centers coming up all over. And you can see the poverty there. You can see the needy there. You can see pain and suffering over there. But we also witness a broken economy. Who is not affected by CrowdStrike that happens on Friday? Yeah, many of us are. And that created issues for the whole economy. The war also affects the economy. And the outcome of broken economy, you get jobs, wages, they are scarce. And in the outcome of it, you get people living under the line of sustenance in poverty. You just take a 2 hours flight anywhere from Singapore, you see slums and people living in the midst of slums. I mean, when we walk near rubbish chute, we walk 2 meters away, right? But here, the people are living in the slums. That is their livelihood. That is their means of making a living. Closer home, you can see lonely elderly among us. Why is it such? And broken families in our midst. I'm sure one way or another, one of us here, all of us here, would have come across one of these situations that you see. But how then the church is to respond in times like this? God raised the church to be a source of hope and care. Builders of hope. And you can see here, right before you, faith-based charities set up by churches to help the marginalized, to help the needy. Right? Like, Hiding Place is giving a job to the ex-convict that they start a brand new life through Hiding Place. The hospital, St. Luke's Elderly Care, St. Andrew's Hospital, accorded affordable medical attention and care to those who need it. World Vision mobilized the youth to reach out to the marginalized out of Singapore. And Salvation Army is set up here and worldwide to serve the marginalized. This is the heartbeat of the Lord, that the church is to rise in a broken world to be their source of care and hope. But this don't happen all the time. And that brings me to Isaiah 58, where our hearts needs to be changed in order to care for the needy. It's got to happen in our heart. We have to be convicted of our hypocrisy, and we've got to be changed by compassion. Then caring for the needy happens. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into this very place to worship you. this very day set apart to worship you. We pray that your word don't come back empty to you. Your words are not just heard, but your word is amplified in our hearts, O Lord, that transform us from the inside out, that transform us enough to change our heart, change our perspective, that we do what you ask us to do because we want to, not because you ask of us only. So Lord, help this heart to hear, to be changed, to be sensitive to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 58 starts in verse 1. Let me just read out as best I can. I mean, when I was being mentored and being trained by people before me, I mean by elders and mentors before me, when you read the Bible, don't read it as like you read books or novels. Read it with all your senses. Read it as if you're there. As you're there. And how would this verse look like? And this is God telling prophet Isaiah, say this to my people. Say this to my people. And this is why I say, cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. This is an angry God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And the instruction to him is, don't hold back. don't hold back. Yeah, give it to them. Don't hold back. Let the people know why I'm angry. Let the people know that they are sin and they have trespassed me. And it's not just shout, no. Use a trumpet. Yeah, at home, my children call me, Dad, you only have two volume, loud or louder. Yeah, here, God asked Isaiah, sound it like a trumpet. Make sure my people hear this. Why? The Lord is so angry. Why makes the Lord angry? I mean, the people are fasting. That's a command of the Lord. You know, the context of Isaiah 58, they are fasting. They are doing what God commanded them. But this is God's response to them in verse 5. Is such a fast I choose a day for people to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to God? The people are doing what God commanded them, and yet God is not happy. God is not delighted with the fast. Why? Why is it so? Because there's hypocrisy in what we do. Our hearts need to be convicted of this hypocrisy. Devotion, doing the fast, doing actions, or even spiritual discipline as an outward form is one problem that the people of Israel are being warned about. Right? There's devotion happening only as an outward form, going through motion. It's not done from the heart. It's just done as an outward expression. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Wow. As if they are a nation that did righteous and did not forsake the judgment of the Lord. They do this as if. It's a very loud shout to me that devotion that the Israelites are doing at the moment in time, the fasting that they are doing, the actions that these are commands of the Lord are just outward expression, just going through motion, just doing because they are told to, just doing because it's a command. Secondly, they do this, wow, with expectation, to expect blessing, expect things from the Lord. Yeah, that's what the Lord tell them. Their response to the Lord in verse 3, first part, why have we fasted and you not see? We have humbled ourselves and you not acknowledge it? Wow, the audacity of the people to ask this of God. Hey, I've done all that. Why? You didn't see. You didn't see the good works I've done. You didn't see all these things. Why are you not happy even though I do all that? So sometimes we do not just go through motion, we do things, spiritual discipline included, with expectation, when our hearts are not right. And third thing that the Lord reminded the people of is, yeah, you're just doing things without true changes, because that's the crux of it. Our hearts are not changed. The Israeli hearts are not changed. Behold, in the day you fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress your workers. You quarrel and you fight and hit with a wicked fist. You're fighting on the day of the fast. You see, what's the command behind the fast? In Leviticus 23, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, that is the reason for fasting. You fast for repentance, that our hearts are repentant. You fast for the world, that the Lord will come and save the world. That's the reason for fasting. But here, no. The reason is fasting is a show. It's an outward expression that doesn't change their heart. Their behavior betrays their action, betrays the reality of their action. The context of 3b, that you oppress your workers, God's command is very clear that Sabbath is a day of rest. You not just rest, but your workers rest, the animals rest also, the land rest. But here, the Jews are very good. They rested, but they asked their workers to work. That's oppressing their worker. They put the animals to work. Wow, here they are. Lord, I'm obeying you. But that's not true obedience. That's half obedience. That's why the Lord is angry. That's why the Lord tell Isaiah, tell it to my people. They have sinned. They are doing all these things with hypocrisy. Our hearts need to be convicted of such hypocrisy. Then we can move on. You see, while I was growing up as a young man, I had mentors, thankful for these mentors with me. And they told me, no, Johnny, you see these tissue sellers. Anywhere you go, hawker center, kopitiam, around near any public transport, you see these tissue sellers. Bless them. Just buy from them. $2 for 3 packets. $2 for 3. When my mentor shared this with me, my mind was very calculative. You know, $2, I can buy 1 whole pack, but buy 3. Yeah, that's not a great steward of my money. Yeah, but okay, since my mentor tell me, I will do it. Right, maybe something will change. And that's what I did. So sometimes I get 12 tissue packs in front of me, you know. I see a tissue seller, I'll just buy from them. I'll just buy from them. But I was convicted of more. That my heart is not changed. That devotion, that buying of tissue paper is just an outward form. It's just, well, I have to do it. I'm doing it because my mentor tell me to. There's no, I want to do it. I wonder. So I was so convicted of that. So I came before the Lord confessing that before him. I said, Lord, my heart must be right. So Lord, give me a chance. And then the Lord sent me, Madam Go, tissue seller. Came to me. I just ordered a bowl of wonton noodle. I just sat down. There she came with 3 packets. Right. So instead of reaching to my wallet and give her $2, I give up my seat for Madam Go. I said, ma'am, sit down. Have your meal. Have this meal of wonton noodle. She must be hungry. She sat down and she eat. And in that process, I get to know her. I get to find out her story. I get to understand why she's selling tissue paper. I get to know her as Madam Go, not as a tissue seller. Then I buy her coffee. And then once she's done, she just say, thank you. I pay for another $2. And off she went. Then it hits me again. Yeah. I didn't have that spiritual conversation with her. Lord, forgive me. I should share the gospel with her after knowing her. And God gave me a second chance. All right. I met her again. I get to share the gospel with her. And with a gentle smile, she said, thank you. And then she turned and walked away. It's okay, but something happened in me. I began to realize, I began to have compassion for this tissue seller. Once I hear Madam Go's story, I begin to understand them a bit more. So it's not just an exchange of money for tissue paper. It's the time given, it's that attention given that do something to my heart. And that's where the Lord wants us to start from. We want to care for the needy, our hearts must be convicted of our hypocrisy. And once that is settled, our hearts will be changed by compassion. Because our God is a compassionate God. Our God is a God of love and mercy. We have to get our heart right. Verse 6, is not this the fast that I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness and to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. That's a fast that the Lord chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness. What does loose the bonds of wickedness mean? It means we've got to get rid of the wickedness in our heart. You've got to get rid of the wickedness in us, isn't it? Right? Loose the bonds of wickedness. Repent. Come before the Lord. Sort our life out, our sins, get it out of the way, and then undo the straps of the yoke. The Jews are already oppressing the workers. Here, you have to lift the burden off the workers. All right, and to let the oppressed go free. Please, don't make them work in Sabbath again. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. And break every yoke. In those times, break every yoke means to forgive people of any debts. Yeah, write off the debts. And to do that, the heart must change. The heart must change for them to totally turn around. If not, it's just going through motion again. If not, it's just going through all that again. The cycle repeats itself. No, the cycle has to stop. And it starts with the heart. And once we get our heart right, right actions will follow. Right action will follow. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Bring the homeless home to your home. When you see the naked, cover him. First part, feed the hungry. Go, feed the hungry. Share your bread with those who need it. Do that. That's a very easy, simple thing to do. And bring the homeless home. That's a little bit more challenging to some. Open up your homes to those who need a roof under their head. There are people that need foster care. There are people that are homeless around us. Sometimes our eyes are just not open to see someone with a trolley. Now the whole, what we have in our wardrobe, what we have at home, they have it on their trolley. You see them around. Is your heart convicted enough to say, come, stay one night at my home. Come to my home for a shower. Have we opened up our home to the homeless? And when you see those in need, when you see the people who's naked, the immediate need, do everything to cover them. Do everything to meet their needs. When you see it, do it. Do it not because you have to. Do it because you want to. Once you get your heart right, the right actions will follow. Verse 10, first part, if you pour yourself for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. COVID-19 hit the whole world, hit Singapore included. When that happened, the SPs gathered the church through Zoom and they sound a clear trumpet call of action. Let's go make a difference with these migrant workers. And this is what happened. We bless the migrant worker. Covenanters rise up to the occasion. They open their wallet. We raise 426,000 to feed this migrant worker, to house this migrant worker. All right, because they work for a purpose. Loans still need to be paid. Fees still need to be paid where they come from. And there are no means of doing so. The money helped them. But more important, we feed them. 3 a.m., Covenanters wake up. I mean, how often do we wake up at 3 a.m.? But during the circuit breaker, for one whole month, many of you wake up at 3 a.m. to go to Mustafa Center to serve them breakfast because it's a fasting month for these Muslim brothers. And then evening came again to serve dinner to them. Wow, I'm so proud of you because you saw the afflicted. You saw the hungry in our midst. You saw the nakedness in our land. And you rise up to make a difference. So once our heart is right, right action will follow. And the right action is not just to meet the here and now. It's to meet the future. Also in verse 12, and your ancient reign will be rebuilt. Will be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You're not just building for the current generation. You need to build for future generations. And you'll be called repairers of the bridge, restorer of the streets to dwell in. We are asked to see what's broken around us and repair it to rebuild it. Simple as that. And when you do that, you're building the foundations for the future. It's not just the here and now, but also the future. You see, our God is not a God of the here and now. Our God is a God of the multitudes, the God of the generations. It's not just here, now, that we have to do. And we have to make sure everything we do is sustainable, not just the here and now. And that's what happens for Covenant 24 years ago, when we don't have a land, and God blessed us with a land in Bukit Panjang. Year 2000, the Lord gave us this land. And we ask ourselves, why this land? Why Bukit Panjang? In Love Singapore, they drew an outline of Singapore, and then they asked the pastors, go to where your church is in the Singapore as a representation. And then we realize why. When we stand where we are at Bukit Panjang, we realize not many people near us. That means there are not many churches there. Then we realize, oh, we are there not for ourselves. We are there for the community. God put us there for a purpose. So we begin to knock on doors. While the building is being built, we survey every block, survey every household, and we ask them, what do you need? What will be most needful? Rather than we think what is most needful to them, they tell us what is most needful. And it come out that, oh, we need a childcare center. And there are quite a few people that needs medical attention, and they could not go to the hospital, could not go to the polyclinic to do so. They need help. So we figure out that's what we need to do, and we started New Life Community Services to love the community as Christ does, so that they get to experience Christ in the services, in receiving these things. And that's what started New Life, purely loving the community because God loved us and we love them. You saw this from Ben just now, that the impact of New Life in the community. It started with one childcare center, one home medical services. And by God's grace, over 24 years, we laid the foundation for the future. Now we have 1,000 childcare centers, 3 after-school care student centers, counseling center, 3 youth hubs. All right, and we restarted the work for the Silvers through the Silver Care. And we can see God's hand in this growth. We can see God's hand with this. There's a plot of land beside Bukit Panjang. It's empty. And the government gazetted it to serve the community as a nursing home. And when we saw that, we partnered with St. Luke Elder Care to bid for the land, to bid for the services that is there. And by God's grace, we received the bid. All right? And we received. And the blessing doesn't stop there. All right? Not just having a land that we can work with. The member of parliament on the land was saying, oh, you're going to come here. This nursing home has Silver Care, that means daycare center for elderly, and there's an active aging center, AAC. All right, and you'll take a few years to build this building and the services to start. By end 26 or early 27, the services will start over there. And can you do something in the meantime? Well, this is an offering to us. And we say, yes, New Life Community Service is created to serve the community, to love the community as Jesus. And we get down to work. So we get down to ask for help. The people responded. And we asked the government also for help. And they responded. They gave us two pieces of void deck underneath the HDB block. These are very valuable real estate because it's cheap, all right, but very limited in supply. And there we just write in, the Lord bless us, let Ministry of Health say, give us approval, go and start the active aging center, go and start a gym tonic. So block 523, block 525, just behind the church in Bukit Panjang, stone throw away. So just 2 weeks ago, Ministry of Health gave us a letter to start this. All glory, all blessings to the Lord. And then what's next now is for HDB to say, go ahead. And then the government don't just give us the permission to do so. They give us money. Now, we never pray and ask for money, but they give us money. So here is the amount of money to start the services. Wow! So once we get our hearts right, we do because we want to, not because we have to, not because we are told to. All the right actions happen. All the blessings happen. And these blessings will keep coming as long as our heart is right. And this is the beauty of the Lord. I just want to share a testimony from Joanne and Alex. That's one of the services we provide. It's a bless to bless, where the government give us a list of families, needy families that need a leg up in their life. So, and each of these needy family has a request, has particularities. That means the people to help me must be conversant in this area or must be this particular race or whatever. So they have a set of conditions. And given to us, we match the volunteers to this. And Joanne and Alex is matched with Madam Tan. They started volunteering when the first time we started this in 2021. We keep going this year by year. And somehow, Madam Tan is matched with Joanne again and again. There is a set of things that we do in Bless to Bless. What you can, what you cannot do, and so on and so forth. But Joanne and Alex went out of their area of loving Madam Tan. They opened up their homes to her. Not just to her, but to her family. Invite them over for makan, for lunch and dinner. And as a result, get to know the family. And then found out, oh, their oldest child is turning 12, moving from primary school to secondary school. And that's quite a harrowing experience for someone very comfortable with a primary school environment now going to a brand new school. So they take pains. This is not the scope of Bless to Bless, but Joanne and Alex did it. They went to help this child, year old, make sure that he has all the stationeries, all the books, textbook, uniform prepared, and then went to help him, help this 12-year-old move, commute from the home to the secondary school because it's a brand new secondary school, to make sure that he can do it safely and go to school and come back. They did this for a while until the 12-year-old can do it for themselves. Wow, this is truly going out of the way. They do it because they are not told to do this, but they do it out of the heart of compassion. They do it because they want to. God has touched their life. And through that process, Madam Tan attends church, came to the Mandarin services, get to hear the gospel, and gave her life to to Jesus. Doesn't God deserve a glory? Join a small group and continue on attending the Mandarin service. She has moved her house, but we have also settled her and her family into another church that she continue to hear God's word and to be discipled and to respond to God's word. Joanne and Alex never expect such to happen, that such blessings of salvation to happen. But it's the Lord who does it, as long as our heart is right with the Lord. This is where you can come in to make a difference. All right? These are possible opportunity of action on your part. Bless to bless is going to happen again. So this is a save the date kind of thing for you. That comes November, end of the year. We'll be calling for volunteers, and then we'll be matching anyone who volunteered to the beneficiaries, to the needy. And then, yeah, see how the Lord leads. There's also steady readers in Fengshan. You saw the video of steady readers in Fengshan. And this is an opportunity. This is close to us, closest to the east, that God has opened up services, new life community services for this. And some may ask, hey, what about the silver? You talk about the silver. Yes. Yeah. We don't have a building yet. We're not able to start some of the services, but already Bukit Panjang and Woodlands are having some silver work. And this is where we are one church. This is where covenanters in the east can respond and make a difference. Go for a block party. All right? And yeah, you can truly love the community as Jesus has, because we are loved. You saw the video of Joanne, and she shared something very deep in the video. She said, God loves us, and we love God. And when you love God, you just want to serve the people in whatever community. She do it because God first loved her, and that touched her to love God. And as a result, love the people. So caring for the needy happens only when our heart is convicted of hypocrisy and when our heart is changed by compassion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you set us apart for the gospel. You set us apart to love the community as you have loved us. So, Father, here we are given such platform to make you known, to be hands and legs and face of you in the community. And we pray that Lord, you raise us up, oh Father. We do not want to do because we are told to, because Pastor Matt, because our senior pastor, or because Elder Johnny asks you to. No, Lord, we want to do because you love us. Our hearts must be transformed, must be touched by you. Then we will care for the needy. Then the actions is sustainable, is ongoing. And in that process, we are changed. As we are changed by you, our faith grows, our hearts grow, our discipleship deepens. And the broken world is mended by your love, by your compassion. So Lord, change, transform this heart of ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And so shall we all stand as we sing this response song to God, declaring, Shine, Jesus, shine. It's an older song. For some of you, it's a new song. So let's all sing this as our declaration to Him. Let's put our hands together like this and declare this song together. Lord, the light of your love.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, the light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth.
so I claim the benediction from a prayer and a word that is found in 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. So Lord, may You shine in and through our lives so that the world may experience Your love, Your care, and hope that is found in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.